The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and we're getting ready. It's Wednesday, so we're getting ready for the start of the Shriners Hospital for Children, TPC Summerlin, Las Vegas, hosting it this year, as always. And Frank Bassett is not there this year like he was last year, but we'll still be talking a little bit about that. We'll also, of course, have to talk about Tiger and his big announcement about what he's doing. And you can hear him in the background, either that or we got squirrels in the attic. Steve Johnson from Hankini Golf will be joining us. Steve, are you okay there?
Can you just I'm here. I'm just going through all my notes, my show notes from the big meetings we've had.
Thank you. So you're prepared. Well, good. I'm glad to hear it.
I am.
Holy smokes.
The drive from the airport back to the ranch, show prep. There you go.
And there's Frank Bassett here in Nashville. Frank, how you doing today? Say hi to you. Everything good?
Hey, everything's good. Everything's really good. It's beautiful outside. It's raining and cool and the wind's blowing and I can't play golf. So yeah, whippy.
And you know, by the way, speaking of weather, Frank, we had a cold day yesterday here in Dallas on Tuesday. I mean, it probably didn't get to 60, right? So it was like in the mid or upper 50s all day and overcast, just kind of a nasty day. And tomorrow I have to play in Art Selinger's tournament that he's having. It's supposed to be 93 tomorrow. Yeah, a little change. That's the fall for Texas here.
Welcome to Coldies. Go get Coldies and Emergency, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, and you know where we're playing. Steve Johnson, by the way. Welcome, Steve, managing partner at Hankini Golf. I kind of blindly introduced you there. You doing good?
I'm doing great, guys.
Hey, you know where I'm playing at Art's tournament, Steve? You'll be happy with this. You and I played with Art in a tournament there a few years back. We're playing at Trophy Club.
Oh, really?
Remember when you blew that one putt that cost us a championship at Trophy Club?
I remember.
Remember that, Steve?
Well, we played with Mike Madonna. We played with Art Selinger, Mike's future wife. At the time, it was his girlfriend. And you and I were the kind of the anchors to the team.
Okay.
And we ended up shooting, Frank, we shot, I'm just going by memory here, but we shot like 21 under par for 18 holes.
Yeah.
It was a scramble. It was a scramble event. We had
and we certainly didn't cheat. We didn't do anything.
Four A players on the team. They didn't really say anything about it. And the reason we played was because, you know, just we got to tell it like it is. We played because they were giving away Tiffany watches. It was first place.
What?
First and second, Frank, were different, but they're both Tiffany watches because the guy who put it together's sister is like a VP at Tiffany.
The tournaments I play in, I get some top flight, sleeve of top flights if we win.
Yeah, that's why I put together an all-star team.
Yeah.
Filled with ringers for us to win watches.
And to be honest, I don't think, you know, we there was one par four that we should have birdied that we didn't, but we made eagles on the par fives. And I mean, we couldn't have done any better than we did.
No.
Maybe one shot, but I mean, gosh, we played so good. We were happy with the 21 under. And Art Selinger says, guys, let me give you a little heads up. He said, you know what? We will be lucky if we win anything. I said, you're crazy, Art. I said, who's going to beat us? I said, we've got four A players and an A minus player on our team. We've got to win.
So
tell him the bad news, Tim.
You missed a putt.
Wait a minute.
So you finished out of the money, right? Didn't get second place. Third. Didn't get anything.
No, finished
well,
third.
What about the bottle of wine? What tournament was that?
That was a different tournament.
Hang on. That's a different. Right. Off the rails. Hang on.
I mean, we were in a scorecard playoff, and we lost the scorecard playoff.
Frank, do you remember a basketball player named Spud Webb?
Absolutely.
Guessing you do. Okay, little guy.
Yeah.
From here in Dallas, played in the NBA for about a dozen years and could dunk, jump out of the gym, and he was all of 5'7".
Yeah.
Anyway, Spud had a team put together. Well, we watched them play a few holes. And I'm telling you right now, there's not a chance in Hades.
You're saying that
they
cheated.
Is better than ours. And somehow they came in at 21 under, the same as us, and won the scorecard playoff because they went backwards. And we were tied, and we got to that par four Steve was referencing, and they birdied it, and we didn't, the one we didn't birdie, and we lost a Tiffany. It was like a $4,000 Tiffany watch.
that so we now, lost.
Yeah. And we got like a sleeve of balls.
So now you're wearing a lost and found Apple Watch, right?
That was bad. No, I mean,
yes, I am.
You know, Tiger, I mean, Eldrick was is called Tiger. Now we call Spud Webb Cheetah. Because there's absolutely no way they beat us.
No way. And we even challenged them. We even said when they went up there to get their watches and the nice beautiful box and everything, we're like, seriously, we will go play off with you guys right now. We'll put our own money into it. And they're like, well, no, we got to go. I mean, it was like they couldn't have got out of the parking lot fast enough. I mean, it was so obvious.
Was it one of those tournaments where you can buy mulligans and all that kind of crap?
No.
So it was straight up four-man scramble.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. And I'm being honest.
Frank, they were supposed to have official scores with every group because they've had problems in this tournament before.
What a shock.
They've had some erasing on the scorecards at the end of the deal. It should have warned us because they never posted any scores. And it was everyone was already in. And they left a half hour later, and we kept saying, gosh, come on, everyone's got to be in. Let's put some scores up there. Well, the reason they didn't is because the scores went up, the awards were given, and everyone left.
Oh,
and we're sitting there thinking, what the heck?
So, in other words, this isn't the tournament for people to go pay money to play in.
No.
This show will be out before the tournament, by the way.
It was bad taste.
We were legitimate, too, Frank, because, I mean, Art would pound the ball 340.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was in the old days, but he pounded. So even the par fives, we're hitting like 9 irons into the par fives, 8 irons. I mean, so it wasn't ridiculous that we were getting all these eagles because we had the talent of guys that and the level that we could do that. And we did drain a few, you know, 20, 25-foot putts, too. So everything was clicking for us. We felt so good that we were just like we were cleaning our wrists off afterwards to make sure we had a nice spot for that watch to go on. And
so this is tomorrow. This tournament's tomorrow in Dallas.
Nah, it's a different one. Same place, though. It was the same place as that tournament.
Last time you played that.
This one, too, Frank, they're a little trivia. Steve, you can tell Frank and all of our listeners. So we're playing at Trophy Club. What is the significance of Trophy Club, Steve, as far as
that is one of the very That is one of the very few courses that Ben Hogan had designed.
The only
Ben Hogan.
He's ever designed.
I knew that.
Ben Hogan only designed one course in his entire incredible life, and it was Trophy Club.
Yep.
So it's got a little history to it. And I'll be honest with you, I think Steve will agree. It's not a great course. I mean, it's, you know,
Well, that's nice.
It was a fun course to play. But
that's okay.
But it's not like, you know, it's not a Pete Dye, Jack Nicklaus, Kyle Fazio type deal. They moved very little dirt. The greens are small, as you could imagine. Ben Hogan was very good ball striker. Well, you know, some say the best. Yeah, and the greens are tiny.
Yeah.
Well, hey, before we get into real golf, then I have a question for Steve about Hank Haney Golf Radio on Sirius XM, which Steve co-hosts with Hank a lot, and I want to know who Caddy John really is. Caddy John comes on y'all's show a lot.
Yeah, Caddy John is probably going to have a show on Sirius XM. Caddy John is a very avid golfer, like a lot of the listeners on Sirius PGA Tour Radio. He's a very serious golfer, and he loves talking and listening about golf. He is actually an attorney out of Atlanta. He is one of the leaders of the Michigan State Booster Club.
Oh.
And he's a big Michigan State guy. He's a Spartan through and through. So, but he has some great insights. And, you know, he goes by the handle of Caddy John, and we keep asking him if we can get him to double carry for us, but he hasn't turned us down.
Well, here in Nashville, we have a guy that I play golf with some here and know from Del Waltrip's tournament. And his first name is Jay. We're going to start calling him Caddy Jay. He's
there you
a big time attorney. In fact, his client happens to be POTUS. But I don't know if Caddy Jay would do that for us. Jay Sekulow, who's here in his studio. He's here in Nashville, Franklin, Tennessee. But I told him, I said, we need Caddy Jay. So I don't think he's going to do that since he's really busy right now. But I really like that Caddy John. I kept hearing it here, and I said, I've got to ask Steve on the record, who is Caddy John? Because he really is smart.
You know, he keeps us honest. At least he keeps me honest. He has a lot of great insights, and you can tell that he does research.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he sure does. Speaking of research and speaking of Hank Haney Golf Radio. Hank, and you were, I think you were on the show when he did it. He made a prediction, hands down, that this fellow named Eldridge was going to play at the Hero.
Yeah.
He said
yeah,
flat
he
out he's going to play.
Limb, Frank.
Yeah.
And, man, he's proven his prediction. He's, I mean, I tell you what, he's, I couldn't believe that, he went out on that limb, and sure enough, 3 days later, Tiger announces that he's going. In fact, somebody just asked a rhetorical question on Twitter. Hey, when do you think he'll play? And Hank came back with just a very concise answer. He said, Hero, book it. And sure enough. Now, the Hero Challenge is the end of December. I mean, his intent is
no,
to
it's
play.
No, end of November, isn't it?
Is it November?
Yeah, end of November.
Yeah, end of this month.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So
ready, I guess.
His intent is to play, but he's we'll see if he tees it up or not.
Well, I thought the tweet that he sent out, that my thanks to the committee of one for selecting me for the tournament was pretty good.
Well, I mean, his intent is to play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, intending to play and actually playing are two different things. He intended to play at San Diego a couple years ago.
Right.
But his glutes tightened up.
they didn't fire.
That's
right. He ran out of glute activator, and he couldn't find any, and his glutes wouldn't activate, so he couldn't play.
Go to Taco Bell.
So,
it's going to be interesting. Again, we're joined by Steve Johnson, managing partner at Hank Haney Golf, and talking about Tiger playing Hero World Challenge, his friends only, if you will, 18 players that he's had now for, how long has it been, a half dozen years or so that he's been doing it in the Bahamas, and has, Hero is an Indian manufactured motorcycle that's been apparently a wonderful sponsor for Tiger for all these years.
Gotta be, yeah.
So he brings in 18 different players, all very top of the line players around the world, and they have a lot of fun. They all make money. They, you know, have a nice little tournament among themselves, but it's, you know, and it's not official, obviously, PGA or FedEx Cup or anything, but he says he's going to get out and hit. That golf course is not the toughest of golf courses, Steve,
no.
So is that going to be favorable for Tiger to not have to necessarily be on his A game, which you can't expect he would be, and still, last couple of years, he's been dead last, but you think he'll, I don't know, you tell me, what do you think he's going to do?
Well, you know, one of the things that they advertised last year was that he made the most birdies of anyone in the field. I think he made 24 birdies. Which is good, but he had a lot of penalty strokes. He had a lot of bogeys. And like you said, I think he was DAL. Yeah. He was dead last.
Yeah.
Well, he was in the top 20.
Yeah, he did make the
top 20. Exactly. You know, that's that may have been part of the reason that Hank said that he was going to be participating in this tournament is because, you know, they do get world ranking points, and Tiger's world ranking, he could do nothing but help himself right now. He hasn't played in so long. I think the only tournament that he got any points at all is this Hero tournament last year. And, you know, he's not in any World Golf Championship events. He's not in any majors. His rankings are in the 800s, I think, in the world rankings. So he's got nothing but up. It's a tournament that he hosts. He controls the conditions. Hank says, I've never been there, but Hank said he's been there. He said it's a pretty benign course. It's a course that Tiger's very familiar with. He's a member there. And, you know, unless the wind is just absolutely just swirling and creating havoc, I think it's a course that he's going to be able to finish 72 holes on, taking into account if he doesn't, if his back doesn't flare up.
When you see what he did last year, Steve, and let's assume maybe he has the same issues that he'll have this year at the Hero. When you said he had a lot of birdies, but also a lot of bogeys and double bogeys and whatnot, what does that tell you? You expect kind of the same thing, that he's got the game, and he'll have a few good holes where he's going to make a putt or hit a good drive or do whatever. But he still doesn't. He's still got a lot of cobwebs going on there. He doesn't have his overall game, so he's going to make a lot of mistakes as well.
Well, they'll claim cobwebs, but cobwebs usually show up in the short game. They usually show up in proximity to the hole. They usually show up in, you know, just specialty shots that you haven't. You know, if you don't do them in a while, like bunker shots and specialty shots around the greens. Lag putting, things like that. Those are signs of rust. hitting the ball left and right and all over the place is not a sign of rust. It's a sign of a bad swing. Now, yeah. His swing has looked better, but, you know, I can't wait. I mean, I hope he does play. And he is, like I said, his intent is to play, but we'll just have to see if he tees it up.
Do you have any feeling that he's going to ratchet it back a little bit? And we talked, I think, earlier last week about different pros talking about it, and Jeff Ogilvie was here in town for the Payne Stewart. He said, you know what, I think he's going to have to lighten up and do things differently. I don't know if his ego will let him do that or his pride factor will let him do things differently. As an older golfer, you kind of have to make adjustments. Would that be his mindset, Steve? Do you think he can make that change and say, okay, I'm not in the middle of my prime 30-year-old Tiger Woods anymore. I'm 42 almost, and I've got to play a different kind of game?
Well, he's going to have to play a little bit different game than when he was 20. However, he's not the type of guy that's going to want to go out there and play a game like Jim Furyk that's just hitting fairways and greens and making cuts and, you know, and being one of the guys. I mean, he plays to win, and that's he wants to be part of the last group. That's part of the thrill of competitive golf for him, is the preparation and the actual execution of the event. But I think he's going to go after it hard. He's never ever been able to take it slow swings from the practice tee to execute those slow swings on the golf course. When he gets on the golf course, he swings fast, and you know, he wants to be out there with Jason Day and Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, bombing it out there. Now, he's not going to be quite as far as them, but, I mean, he wants to be competitive. And I don't think he's going to be satisfied with just making cuts. Heck, we just saw last week that Ryan Armour, 41-year-old, won his first time on the tour. Tiger's got to be looking at those guys and saying, you know, man, I've seen these guys win. Pat Perez is having a great year. Ryan Armour's winning. I ought to be able to win out here.
Yeah, and, yeah, but not,
you know,
on Torrey Pines.
Last year, had it was cut six times, had five victories, six in the calendar year. But he was, he missed six cuts, which Tiger won 142 events in a row, 10 years,
yeah,
and didn't miss a cut.
Well, but the course now, Sanderson Farms, the Country Club of Jackson, is not exactly the most difficult. Although it's not an easy course, it's not the most difficult course. It's not a Torrey Pines. It's not a Firestone. It's not a. So yeah. You know, 41, and I'm happy. I mean, I'm so happy for Ryan winning that tournament. I'm thrilled for him. He got teared up. I got teared up watching it on TV. I was so excited for he and his family. But
yeah.
I don't know. I just don't. I said before, and I got poo-pooed by a lot of people, that I think Tiger should go out and play some of the tournaments that he really hasn't played that often. But everyone said he's not going to go do that. He's going to go head-to-head with the big boys.
I would be very surprised if he did do that. He hadn't done that much in his career. Now, he did play in the Fries a few years ago after coming back from an injury. But, no, I don't see him saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to go play John Deere. I'm going to play I'm going to play Mayakoba just as a thank you.
Yeah.
The PGA Tour owes him a lot more than he owes the PGA Tour. Believe me.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah, but it's not a bad thought, you know. I mean, it would go a long way for his PR, if nothing else, you know. And I'm not saying his PR is horrible, but it certainly has taken a huge dent in the last 6 years, and even this year he had a DUI. You know, so it wouldn't hurt, I don't think, to have him kind of go and say, you know what, no matter who owes who what, this is me giving a little bit back. It would go a long way, I think, for fans. He may not care, but I think it would go a long way.
I went a long way on that ad nauseum the last time we had this last show. But, I got poo-pooed. I don't think he'll do it. And I think Tiger Woods goes out and wins one tournament. I don't care what it is. He wins one tournament or comes in the top five in one tournament. All that other stuff's forgotten. It's over. It's done. It's gone.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Nobody will remember a thing.
We can remember one of the biggest faux pas, I guess, or one of the biggest gaffes was Kobe Bryant.
Oh, yeah.
And
this is the most, I mean, that was, you know, 10 years ago that happened in the off season. And isn't that amazing that most of these guys get in trouble when they're not on the court or not on the golf course? I think you could make an argument for Tiger. All he's got to do is stay on the golf course, and he's going to be fine. Once he gets off the golf course is where the trouble begins.
Too much free time.
That's true of almost every athlete.
I mean, or everybody, yeah, for that fact.
They just have a controlling environment, Steve, as you know. And in golf, they don't have quite the support team around them as an NFL player does or an NBA player, with coaches, assistant coaches, and handlers and everybody else around. Be on the team bus at a certain time. I mean, they're told what to do, when to do it, and they can do that during season. When they get out of it, and now they're on their own. And that's why Jerry Jones and a lot of these guys try to find, you know, the ones that have some difficulty. They try to get almost a life coach that can hang with them, that can be at their beck and call, so that they don't go out on their own to a bar just to have a drink. You know, so yeah, a lot of these guys have a hard time being out in society, if you will, without any kind of restraint. So I think we'll see with Tiger. My personal thinking is that he's going to be pretty similar to what we've seen the last couple of years. You can't knock the rust off coming off the back surgery. He hasn't played since Dubai in February. It's not going to come back that quickly, and it certainly hasn't shown that it has. Although, you're right, Steve, when he played last year, I think day one he shot pretty good. He shot like a 71 or 2 or something like that, when a lot of people are thinking he's going to shoot 80. And people are kind of going, you know, and he had 3 or 4 birdies and it looked kind of good. But then slowly you saw over the last, you know, there's no cut, over the last few days, it kind of faded a little bit and he didn't maybe have the stamina. And I think we'll see that same thing. But will he be able to come out of it and be healthy still and be able to play whenever he chooses to play again, you know, at the turn of the year? That's the real question. This hero thing is kind of just going to be another fun
exhibition.
Where he finishes. Yeah, you know, and he'll have a good time and they'll raise money and he'll host it like he's supposed to. The real question is,
right,
will he go to Hawaii or wherever he goes, Torrey Pines, wherever, and how's he going to look there? And will he be able to play 4 rounds? I think that's the first and foremost thing for him. I know he doesn't want to just have that low of an expectation, but I think that's what he has to, you know, baby steps. Make a cut and play 4 rounds.
Who's going to be his caddy?
You know, I assume that Joey LaCava is.
We haven't heard anything about that. That question's not been asked or even brought up, I don't think, at least the shows I've listened to. I'm just wondering who's going to caddy for him. Is it going to be Joey?
What's LaCava been doing, Steve? Do you have any idea?
You know, I really don't know, but he did say, and he doesn't tend to speak much in the public, but he said that he's enjoying being around his kids and coaching their little league teams and things like that, and Tiger has been very good to him. So
Tiger's got him on retainer?
You know, I assume he's paying him, yeah, I would imagine. And, you know, the thing is, I mean, I know you guys have a lot to talk about today, but one of the things that no one talks about, it's a real legitimate concern, is this opiate drug abuse. And, you know, he just came off the hearing, and he's doing some program to nullify the DUI charge he has and lower it to reckless driving. But the opiates are an extremely addictive drug.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like he was taking one. I mean, he's been injured on and off since 2003. You know, he's had 8 comebacks in his career since 2003.
Unbelievable.
Now, one of them was because of the loss of his father in 2006, but everything else had been either ACL, Achilles, and then in 2010, the back issues started popping up. But you've got 15 years of opiate use. Now, I'm not saying 15 years of abuse, but he did abuse it at some point, and that is a tough drug to kick. They say 91% of everyone that has been addicted to opiates goes back. 60% of the people go back after just a week after they go come out of rehab.
Yeah.
So I hope he has a really extensive support system and rehab that he's going through, because it's not something that you can just go through a couple weeks and say, hey, I'm good.
No one's talking about that. No, and you talk about the high percentage of people that go back. You talk about those are the people who can afford to go back. The greater percentage that can't afford to go back go straight to heroin because it's cheap. And you can get it on the street.
Right.
And that's the sad thing. And that's, I'm not going to get into my soapbox about our social, what we should do in society here about that. But, wow, the opioid use is rampant in this country. And the doctors dole it out like it's, you know, candy corn at Halloween.
Yeah.
Right.
It, it's a serious thing. It's and Steve, you know, your point is well taken. People aren't really talking about it just yet, and we'll see if it is. And we're talking prescription drugs, you know. I mean,
right.
Tigers, I think, has a prescription for all the different things. It still doesn't mean you can't be addicted. It doesn't mean you can't.
Well, the more you take, the more you need. Okay, it just you build up that tolerance. That tolerance and the pain is still there.
Guys, remember, he had five different drugs in his body.
Yeah.
So he's abused. But even if they're prescription drugs, and even if they are prescribed for him, there's question about how he's using them.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, he's using them in a way that is probably not prescribed. So that's abuse in itself. So all I'm saying is, I mean, no one's talking about it, but it would be a concern of mine. Hey, you know what?
We're talking about it now.
I've been, and at 57 years old, I've been down this pathway with friends and loved ones. And you know what? I know people do kick it, and people do live many years with, recovering from addiction. But I got to tell you the truth. I've never seen one. I've never been personally involved in a situation that turned out good.
Well,
and that's how serious it is.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, he has been in recovery, and that was part of the whole thing when he had the accident, the one car accident when he drove up on the curb and
passed
wasn't
out,
sure where he was and all that.
Yeah.
All that stuff happened.
Yeah.
That was all part of it is to go to rehab, and we hadn't heard from him in a long, long time. So you can only hope, but I know what you're saying, Steve. The odds are against him that he can overcome that, or it's going to be a long haul where he can overcome it. And so, you know, we will see. He certainly has, as any athlete, has access to a lot of doctors. Money's never an object, so it's a possibility because he can make all that stuff happen if he wants. You just hope that he doesn't. I think the world is better. Don't we all agree that the golf world is better with Tiger involved in it?
Oh,
we've had it both ways,
of course,
over the last 5 years, and we saw it for a long time. And there were some, certainly, people that weren't big Tiger fans and on. But I think if Tiger could get back to even a top 30, 50 kind of a player and maybe contend for a Ryder Cup, all that would be awesome. I mean, we've seen Phil do it, and Phil doesn't seem like he's the most wonderful physical specimen. So it's not like Tiger has to, you know, do the military stuff that he's been doing his whole life. I think if he can just get healthy and keep his back in shape and not have to tear his body up, he should have a good 8, 9, 10 years that he could be playing at a very competitive level. It would be awesome to see the young Dustin Johnsons and Spieths and these guys that have had very little competitive rounds with Tiger involved. It'd be kind of neat to see. And I think they'd all welcome him back with open arms and say, hey, here's Michael Jordan back and playing again. It's just, and we haven't seen it yet. We're not quite there, but we'll see at the Hero World Challenge.
Well, you've only got so many days in the sun in your life, period. And that's just it. And, you know, over 40 and it makes a huge difference, as we all know.
Yeah, I like. It'd be nice to get.
Tim, I agree with you. I agree with you that golf is better with Tiger for sure.
Oh, sure.
And I'd love to see him come back and play a full schedule, and be pain free and be opiate free and win tournaments and break Jack's record. That would be. I tell you what, the networks would love to see it because the ratings have been absolutely awful.
Yeah, and Steve, I'm curious too, and you know have known Tiger for a long, long time. Through all this stuff, good and bad, does he need his personal life to kind of settle down a little bit? And in that, I'm saying either he's okay being single and just watching his kids and taking care of that. But do you think is he better if that got, in other words, if he got remarried or whatever? Does he need his personal life to get in order or in a different kind of an order than it is now for him to be able to focus on his golf? Or does that not matter for Tiger? Can he do it either way, whether he's married again or not?
You know, I'm not sure about the marriage and all that and the companionship. Everyone needs companionship. But, I mean, he needs to have some accountability to somebody that is not one of his employees that can keep him straight and, is a sounding board. But,
yeah.
I mean, Tiger Woods is a very secretive person. There was a reason, you know, a very logical explanation when he got when he was driving and pulled over on the side of the road and stopped driving under the influence of those drugs, a very simple solution would say, hey, why didn't you use Uber or why don't you have a driver? Well, Tiger is very secretive. He doesn't want people to know what he's doing. He doesn't want anyone to know what he's doing. And that secrecy is not a good formula for a guy that has addiction problems.
Right.
So, I mean, I think when you say companionship or you say, marriage and all that, his personal life, he needs to decide that, you know, hey, I'm going to have some mentors and some confidants that I can really trust in and I can really, share with, because there's just to help him stay out of situations that could be volatile for himself.
Right. Yeah. Which is kind of what I was alluding to, that it seems like it would be nice if he had, because his parents aren't around, obviously a lot, and he doesn't have a wife, and I'm not trying to advocate or tell a guy how he's got to live his life, but you know, some sense of order, and maybe he has it without a companion, but it's so high profile, right? He dates whoever, and everybody's got to find out about it. It's on TMZ, and so that's got to be tough too.
Well, there's nothing the guy can do. I mean, he can't have a normal life. There's no way.
Yeah.
So
right, and that's one thing. You know, when I'm very critical of Tiger, that's one thing that I'm totally out of touch with, is that I've never walked one day in his shoes. It is a difficult pair of shoes to walk in. He has a target on his back. People like us want to talk about a story, and we're always looking for a story. So, you've got to have some compassion for the guy, because although he is, he's definitely benefited from the things that he's done, it's a double-edged sword, because he does not have a private life. It's all public.
Tell you, Garth Brooks can walk into the Kroger here in Goodlettsville, Tennessee, in a baseball cap and sunglasses, and nobody will know who he is. If he just doesn't wear a hat, he doesn't look like Garth Brooks. Okay, he can get away with it. Tiger Woods in a burqa, they would still know who he is. I mean, he's just got that magnetism,
right?
That he just,
yeah,
they know who he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I agree.
There's
I
no
agree,
way.
Frank.
No way.
And that's one of the things, you know, that's kind of a reality check for me. When I'm being critical, you know, I've never walked one day in that guy's, I don't know. I mean, even the death threats that he got early on in his career, I mean, this guy's been through a lot.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, that was brutal early in his career when he first came out. They were all, remember that, Tim? They were just, how dare him play this game? You know, I mean, it was brutal. It was horrible.
Yeah.
So that has to make you not even secretive as much as just to withdraw totally within yourself.
Right.
We're joined by Steve Johnson, managing partner at Hank Haney Golf. And Steve, for people that want to send videos, have you look at their swing or just find out what Steve Johnson is thinking about things?
What's absolutely. That's what we do, Tim. Golf Schools with an S at HankHaney.com. HankHaney.com. Golf Schools at Hank Haney. All you got to do is take your mobile device and send a down the line video and tell us what your big miss is, what the ball's doing. Hey, I slice it, I pop it up, I roll it along the ground, I hook it too much. Whatever that bigness is, and within 24 hours, we're going to give you a start to a game plan. That's what we do, and we do that for Golf Talk America.
So down-the-line video means have a friend stand behind you, correct me if I'm wrong on this, with your iPhone or whatever your mobile device is, hold it very steady, and you take your normal swing, and they take the shot from behind you, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay, absolutely. Yeah. So we can see the target. We can see where you're aiming. We can see where the ball starts out, and and then what I do is I send them to Tim, and Tim analyzes them.
I was going to say just have Tim stand out as the target, and then we'll take the swing.
I'm the before and after. I'm the guy you don't want to emulate. That's
hey, so you're on Hank Haney Golf Radio with Hank all the time. It's his, you're the managing partner, of course, of Hank Haney Golf, but you're on the show on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, and that show can be heard every day at 10 a.m. Eastern, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. And I will be on there. I'll be flying solo on this Saturday and Sunday.
Oh.
It looks like I'm going to be on with Hank this Friday. And so I've got to do some research, because he is big on the stats.
Okay. So, Tim, you handle it on Saturday, and I'll handle it on Sunday. And we'll call in and just harass the show. How's that?
We can do that. Hey, Steve,
I'm not going to mess with Hank.
Just have a good question.
Oh, we will. I'm
always
on top of it.
Okay.
What's your thoughts about the World Series? Let me give you a left turn here. We talk about a lot of different sports.
Oh, man, you know what?
You're from the San Diego area.
I've watched Game 5 at the start. And I got to tell you, Dave Roberts, I feel like Frank right now. Dave Roberts is a student of mine.
Really?
Oh, name dropping.
Name dropper.
he's gained a little weight since I watched him. He was lean and mean when he came for lessons. And, you know, that just goes to show you what the stress of being a major league manager will do to you. But he's got a great team. And I love to see Houston. I don't really care who wins. I'd like to see a good game tonight. Yeah. I cannot believe that. Talk about never say die. I thought in game five after the Dodgers went up 4-0, it was all over. And I woke up the next morning to find out that it was an Astros win. And then last night, you know, I thought the Astros had it in hand. And then all of a sudden I wake up this morning and the Dodgers win. So,
exactly. I did exactly the same thing. I said, oh, it's over. I'm going to sleep. You know, this is it. Boom. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But, it'll be exciting tonight. And nice to see in Houston George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush out there on the field.
Cool.
I'm not sure who they're going to parade out there tonight. But what a fitting end to a season that has 487 games in it, and it comes down to one game. Can you believe that?
I can't wait. Can't wait for the game tonight.
By the way, I was reading today that, speaking of Vegas, where the Shriners – Hospitals for Children tournament is, they were talking about bets being put on the World Series. There's a guy that apparently from Eastern Europe, they said, he's under 30. Nobody's telling to say who it is, but he's put money on each game of the World Series. He's been right on all six games up till now, which is hard to do because you've just explained, Steve, how up and down and back and forth those games have gone. And he's let it ride to the point where he now has $14 million on tonight's Game 7.
A guy from Eastern Europe.
That's all they're saying. He's an Eastern European guy, and he's under 30. And he started, you'd have to do the math. He started with like a $200,000 bet, right? And won 400, went to 800. I don't know how many times you have to multiply to get the game seven, but it's a $14 million bet now. And
who's he betting on?
The Dodgers. The Dodgers.
Wow.
For tonight. Yeah. But he's 6-for-6 so far, and he just kept letting it ride.
I'm going to be watching a little bit harder tonight, then.
Frank, you got to take that money off the table, wouldn't you?
$14 million riding on this game.
You got to put that money's off the table if it's that. Well, if he has a billion dollars in the bank, what difference does that make?
Is he a 29-year-old billionaire from Russia or something? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can add up pretty fast over six games. Somebody knows the math out there, but it probably wasn't a huge bet for game one. And if you just let it ride. Over six games, it could probably get up to $14 million.
To me, $1,000 is a huge bet, okay? I mean, that's a huge bet. I'm not playing with that. A buddy of mine, by the way, out for the Shriners Hospitals for Children is in Vegas. He sends me a picture, and it looked like that movie, Woody Harrelson movie, where he went I shouldn't go here, but Sleep With Your Wife for $1 million, whatever it was, remember? Well, he spread all these $100 bills.
Redford.
Yeah. Spread all these $100 bills all over his bed and took a picture of it and said, "Wish you were here." Yeah, I do too. If I can help him spend it. Yeah, one night, one of my buddies in Vegas. I'm the guy losing at the table, so I'm betting on nothing, except I might wake up in the morning. So
Frank takes a picture with him and a bunch of pennies on the bed. Look at me.
Old pennies.
Up to 12 bucks.
All right, I'm winning. Yeah, if they had penny slots, I'd play them. You got it.
All right, Steve. Well, we appreciate your time. And, again, give us the website one more time for people who want to send their video.
GolfSchools@HankHaney.com.
GolfSchools@HankHaney.com.
GolfSchools@HankHaney.com. That's the one. And I was just thinking the last thought here, Tim. This is my very last thought.
Better be.
You've got an Eastern European guy betting $14 million.
Yes.
Are we talking Russian tampering of the World Series?
You know what they're
Russian
collusion with golf. Investigation on that tomorrow.
Russian collusion with Golf Talk America. Here we go.
Yeah. I don't know.
Robert's going to be investigating me. Man. And Tim, you're in trouble, buddy. I'm throwing you
guys, it was nice talking to you again. Thanks for having me. I thought I was barred from the show.
No. You're the only true talent we have.
We'll bring you back. Yeah. We'll get you back.
Everybody needs to listen also to Hank Haney Golf Radio on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. Listen for Steve. He'll be solo Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern both days, and he'll be on with Hank this Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Hank Haney Radio, 7 days a week.
There
Perfect.
You go.
Hey, thanks, right, guys.
Hey, thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf. Yeah, very good. And yeah. By the way, Frank, he was when I was talking to Steve earlier about coming on the show, and you said that he was at the airport. He took Hank up a client of his that is from Chicago, but he flies in for lessons with Steve. And he's the guy, his friend, is the one who helped get me on Butler National when I was up in Chicago during the BMW. Remember, I went and played there one morning, and it was his friend is a member there, and he put in a word, and I went and played. And all the people at Butler National, I love them to death. They were so nice, and it worked out
great. Yeah, you said that they treated you like a member. It was great.
Yeah. Boy, it sure did.
So how cool is that?
And my son played with me, so that's what really made it really cool. Because Logan had a wonderful time playing, and he felt very nervous because it was probably the nicest golf course. Logan's not a major time golfer; he plays 15 times a year or something like that, or 20. But anyway, we had a great time. Had a great time, great caddy, and all that. So it was just a beautiful day.
How much did you tip your caddy?
I believe.
No, you don't have to give me the real number, but a bunch, I'm sure.
Oh, okay, I won't give you the real number. No. I can lie. I gave him $15,000.
Yeah,
if I can make it up.
Yeah, great. I hope the caddies up at French Lick aren't listening to that.
I didn't have to pay for the golf, so I gave him a nice tip.
Oh yeah, well that's of course. Yeah. And by the way, cool. to just very quickly, French Lick Resort, gotta give them a shout out here. It's they're in the holiday season. They've got some great acts showing up at French Lick coming up. So go to FrenchLick.com and check our friends out. Brendan Sweeney and I were talking this morning about what we're going to do next year and how many shows we're going to do up there. And the Senior LPGA Championship will be up there. The Symetra Tour will also be there next year. And it's going to be fun. Can't wait to get back to our friends at French Lick. What a great place.
Very nice.
Christmas there. I got to tell you, Tim, Christmas there is and New Year's is incredible. It's like stepping back in time. With all the modern amenities, it's beautiful. Snowflakes falling, carriage rides, the trolley, a real trolley that you can ride the train through the woods. Jimmy Stewart, Bing Crosby singing.
Yeah, all the throwbacks. I said I'm playing with in Art's tournament, not with Art, but in his tournament tomorrow. And then Friday and Saturday is my annual Omega Open. With my friend Frank Michalopoulos and about 20 other guys, and we go play in East Texas a couple of rounds, one of them being at Pine Dunes, of course, that I mentioned a lot.
Yes.
So, yeah. Love Pine Dunes. And so I'm looking forward to that. So next week, I'll tell you.
Thanks for inviting me to all these tournaments in Texas. I really appreciate it.
Believe me. Yeah. You don't. This is not that kind of a – yeah. You're not really missing anything, but it is good because we're all good friends. You know, we've been doing it now for, I don't know, not a long time, but probably 7 years now we've been doing it. So
I teed it up at Old Hickory Country Club here last week. I haven't played there in a long time and with some good friends. And I told you about that a little bit, some of the country music folks. And I got to tell you, Old Hickory Country Club, if you're in Nashville, give them a call and check them out because it's in great condition. Those greens were screaming fast.
Really?
They were screaming fast. The fairways were running out pretty good, too, so which helped my drive. But, I had a big time. It was a lot of fun.
Old Hickory.
Old Hickory Country Club.
One last mention before we say goodbye, and that is your friend Vince Gill had a pretty nice – I don't think it was his debut with the Eagles because I think they did one in L.A., but maybe it's his second concert that he did. And he's now, with the passing of Glenn Frey – is touring with the Eagles.
He is.
And he was in Detroit. And I just read that everybody said it was just phenomenal because Glenn Frey's son, whose name I believe is Deacon Frey, played some guitar. He sang a few of Glenn Frey's songs, and then Vince Gill sang a few others. And people said it was a packed house in Detroit at their big arena. I think it's the Papa John's Arena or whatever it is.
Not the Ford Arena anymore.
Stuff like that. Anyway, they said Vince Gill just put on.
Oh, he's for the younger listeners.
Kind of neat.
If you haven't heard Vince Gill, you need to go listen to download some of his stuff because there wasn't a better voice and hasn't been in country music forever and ever. Vince Gill's incredible.
Not a bad guitar player.
Oh, he's phenomenal. Are you kidding? Yeah, he's a great musician. Yeah,
the Eagles, played it safe.
He even remembered you from that concert. He remembered you were the guy in the blue shirt on the seventh row, second seat in. Remember, he told you that
Southern Illinois, when he was with Pure Prairie League.
Amy, what you going to do? I think I can stay with you for a while, maybe longer.
Yeah,
that's their old famous song.
So anyway, so he's so get out and see the Eagles. I have to promote the Eagles. Those guys are
Really.
They need some money. They need some ticket sales. So go out and see that group called the Eagles. They come to a town near you.
Well, and the Who.
It's kind of neat because
the Who.
Because they said that they were going to probably not tour anymore when Glenn Frey passed away, and they figured out a way to kind of keep it alive, and that's great for fans of music. But it's really cool that Vince Gill is. Who would have thought late in life that he'd join the Eagles?
Oops.
You know, I mean, I don't know how old he is, but in his mid, late 50s or whatever.
He's 32, 33, yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool, pretty cool. All right, that should about do it. Hey, we'd like to thank Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for joining us. And be sure to send his videos to Steve. He'll get them right back to you and help you as much as he can. With Frank Bassett, as always, doing a great job. I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.